Akwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I'm Miss Purple.
And I'm Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
Yeah, so yesterday was Children's Day, and just want to use this opportunity to wish all children of parents in Web3 who are listening to this podcast a happy Children's Day, belated actually, since that was yesterday. I hope you and your kids got to have fun, and I definitely trust you are doing an amazing job as parents, and looking forward to the future to seeing what these kids will do in Web3 and blockchain technology. We're kicking off this week with Bitcoin, currently sitting at $27,215.77. Very slight improvement for what it was last week at $26,895.63. Ethereum still maintains its $1,800 mark, currently sitting at $8,849.61. Optimism currently sits at $1.61, a slight decline from its price last week at $1.67. The Matched token currently sits at $0.927, also a slight decline from its value last week at $0.8705. And the Bank token maintains its $0.004 mark.
And with that, we're going to move over to our national currencies, starting off first with the Ghanaian cedi, which was at 10.80 cedis to the dollar last week, but is currently at 11.18 cedi to the dollar. That means it is down by 3.51% from last week's 10.8. The Nigerian Naira is currently at 461.50 Naira to the dollar, down by 0.1% from last week's 461 Naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Ludi and South African Rand not doing too great, currently sitting at 19.66 Rand to the dollar, down by 1.07% from last week's 19.45. The Kenyan shilling is currently at 138.35 shillings to the dollar, down by 0.51% from last week's 137.65 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is currently at 610.41 franc to the dollar, down by 0.72% from last week's 606.05 franc to the dollar. And I'd just like to add that South Africa and subsequently also Lesotho have raised their rates by 50 basis points. So it's about to get tougher. As a friend of mine likes to say, keep it clean, fellas. It's about to get real dirty. So with that, we're going to give you a quick recap of some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week's episode of Sats and Gwe. And my one that I found to be particularly interesting was the fact that in conjunction with the IMF, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority, that is the DCMA, has launched an international central bank digital currency, that is a CBDC, called UMU, or Universal Monetary Unit. If you'd like to hear more on that, make sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gwe. We've also included all the links to that in the show notes, so you can always go back and do your research should you need to.
And the headline that particularly caught my interest was the headline about Empower, a Cardano-built platform with a mission to solve the housing crisis in Africa. Now, so far, Empower has set out a blueprint to help 1 million African families acquire climate-smart homes by 2030, a goal which I think is highly achievable and definitely very immaculate. That brings us to the end of our headlines from last week. Moving on to the headlines for this week. Crypto adoption is booming, but not in the US or Europe. And this is according to a report from the Bitcoin Builders Conference of 2023.
Recent stats have shown that crypto adoption is most evident in emerging markets and not necessarily in the US or Europe. According to Daniel Fogg of the IOV Labs, emerging markets, where cryptocurrencies are providing solutions to people's everyday issues, are seeing a spike in popularity. At the Bitcoin Builders Conference, Fogg stressed that emerging markets are leading the way in the adoption of cryptocurrencies since they are made up of nations that have substantial macroeconomic issues. Commenting on how crypto adoption can influence digital banking, Fogg said, and I quote, "People on the streets have a pressing need to protect their income, to access the US dollars, to get a loan. We're seeing these massive shifts. For me, if you want to look at the future of what I hope crypto will become, it exists today in Turkey, in Colombia, Nigeria, Argentina. It doesn't exist today in the United States or the UK." End quote. He believes crypto adoption, not just Bitcoin, is crucial to rescuing the economies of nations struggling with inflation, devaluation, and other monetary problems. I think the statement is one that, you know, a lot of us have been mentioning for a while, but it's just, it's unfortunate because, you know, it's one of those where things will boom where there is a lot of, you know, public attention, and the public is currently focusing on, you know, whatever happens in the US and the UK. And, you know, a lot of NFT projects come out of a lot of those countries, or at least the ones that are most popular. So when people say things like crypto is a need to have for the African continent more than it ever will be for the US or the UK, it seems like, you know, people are maybe just trying to be funny or finicky, but it is fact. You know, the US and the UK don't need the solutions that we are, you know, able to receive from crypto. I mean, it's great because, of course, you know, there's still certain perks that come with it, and there's certainly many, many issues that it will help solve. But for a lot of people on this side of the pond, it's a whole lifestyle shift, and it makes everything else a lot more accessible, which, of course, at the end of the day, is the goal of crypto. And of course, it's part of the Bitcoin manifesto. So I think I believe the stats, essentially. That's what I'm trying to say. I believe them and I fully understand them. Being on the ground, I can tell you that it is all facts. It's none of it is cap. Moving on to the next headline for the week, Polygon and Ethereum are the most dominant chains in Africa at 80%, according to a study.
Yep, I mean, I would expect nothing less. Now, according to a recent ecosystem assessment by Mercy Corps, Polygon and Ethereum are the two most preferred chains for developing solutions in emerging markets of Africa, Latin America, and Asia. The Crypto for Good Fund, also known as C4G2, is an initiative by Mercy Corps Ventures. The goal of the initiative is to make funding available towards potentially impactful crypto projects that need it within the blockchain ecosystem. More than 30 chains have been used by builders globally, with Polygon taking up 41% of that chunk, Ethereum 39%, and Celo at 29% being the most popular. 61% of the applicants to the Crypto for Good funding were from the African continent, and 15% from developing nations in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. Now, the fund's goal is to encourage and support Web3 solutions that benefit neglected populations. The fund invests in initiatives that will benefit underprivileged consumers in emerging markets, and to further state the support of the Mercy Corps in providing funding for transformative crypto initiatives. And I quote, "From the onset, we've seen that crypto and blockchain present tools to address core challenges in the financial services and climate adaptation landscape. But it's taking time and tenacity to find startups and protocols developing products with real-world applications and low-income users at the center." This statement was according to a spokesperson of the Mercy Corps Foundation. Now, time and again, we've definitely seen a bunch of these companies that have come out to declare solidarity for builders in the Web3 space. And we've seen definitely a lot of other companies put together funds to support, you know, blockchain-based projects. We've seen Binance develop a fund. We've seen Celo develop a fund. We've even seen Ripple develop a fund. And now we also seen this Mercy Corps Ventures developing a fund to support projects. And I think it's quite interesting that the larger percentage of most of these people are building on Polygon and Ethereum. Now, of course, Polygon is a sidechain of Ethereum, but like given the fact that there's that many people building on it, it means there is really something special about that network that a lot more people might be interested in looking into in the near future. But all in all, it's exciting that we have this many builders, we have this many people enthusiastic about the future of blockchain technology.
Bitcoin mining in Africa has been a major challenge, given the continent's electricity concerns in particular. This problem has given rise to the development of solutions that can provide reliable electricity access in general to the communities that need it, and in so doing, attempt to solve the Bitcoin mining challenge, so essentially a two-in-one. Now, according to a report released by a group of companies heavily invested in crypto and Bitcoin mining titled Blueprint for Bitcoin Mining and Energy in Africa, a quote from there reads, by providing a consistent and reliable demand for electricity, Bitcoin mining helps to utilize excess renewable energy that might otherwise go to waste, thereby unlocking the potential of stranded renewable energy projects and contributing to a more sustainable energy future, end quote. The companies that formed the Green African Mining Alliance, that is GAMA or GAMA, to provide a solution to the mining problem include Kenya's Gridless, Ethiopia's QRB Labs, Kenya's Sunkama Ventures, and Nigeria's Trojan Mining. The objective is to provide a standardized method for environmentally friendly cryptocurrency mining. Once again, I think, you know, a two-in-one is always great, especially when it serves the people, because not only are you mining Bitcoin, which means that, you know, evidently there are people out there who are probably able to get jobs somehow, whether you're manning a computer or whatever it is that you may need to do, come in to do some maintenance, whatever, it offers some kind of a solace. But then on top of that, you are creating creating sustainable energy or renewable energy, which is always fantastic, especially when, you know, there are places where people don't even have electricity to begin with. So it's not a question of sustainable or non-sustainable. It's just a question of getting them electricity. And this is a solution that I believe can do a bit of both. We have, of course, highlighted a bit on Kenya's Gridless project. Hopefully we will get to, you know, covering a few of the other projects as well. QRB Labs, Sunkama Ventures, and of course, Trojan Mining. I think it is always, always very phenomenal when you see people building for the purpose of helping other people versus just simply building to make money. Because that is the capitalistic world that we live in. You know, everybody just tends to kind of do what they got to do to make the big bucks. But it's always very humbling to see these in action. Moving on to our next headline, Binance Pay is taking Africa and South Asia by storm.
Binance Pay has had a particularly impressive impact on African and Asian markets since its launch. Binance is aligning itself with industry giants in the world of payments and e-commerce to widen its reach and ensure that it can provide its range of premium services to an even more focused audience. The company has declared its interest to forge partnerships with companies in this niche, such as and potentially PayPal and WooCommerce in the near future. Now, Binance intends to establish a partnership with WooCommerce, an e-commerce plugin used by almost 40% of all websites worldwide, and is expected to greatly expand the reach of Binance Pay. With this infrastructure in position, consumers who are familiar with cryptocurrencies will now be able to transact using more than 70 different tokens. And this definitely includes stablecoins, integrating the world of cryptocurrencies with conventional commerce. I feel like this is a huge leap. This is definitely a major milestone. I know that Binance Pay has been around for a while, but I have, well, sadly never tried it out. But at this point, I mean, I'm an e-com person. I buy stuff, I shop a lot, and I feel like this could come in handy for me in particular, because it means I don't always have to be bothering about which of my cards do I need to pay with. And so far as I have funds in my wallet, I can easily just pay through that. And I feel like this is a solution that would serve users like me or consumers like me who would rather not stress about punching a 16-digit credit card number on a website and having to wait for
a one-time password to authorize a transaction. Doing everything from my wallet will make it much easier for me. And this is definitely something I'll be looking forward to. I think Binance Pay, even though I haven't tried it, should be a great product. The fact that a lot of people are using it, it's been around since 2021. And I mean, for them to be looking to forging an alliance with WooCommerce, WooCommerce is huge. Anybody who knows anything about e-commerce should know about WooCommerce. I mean, it's pretty much on the same level as Shopify and the rest of them. And I think that this is potentially something that is very huge for Binance and definitely very beneficial to the rest of the crypto community. I'm moving on to the next headline. Ton launches a $25 million accelerator program to invest in projects built within the ecosystem.
The Open Network, also known as TON, is a layer one blockchain that was initially developed by Telegram, but since 2020, it has been community-led and open-sourced. Now, the TON Accelerator Program has introduced a $25 million US fund to support projects that build on the ecosystem. The head of incubation and growth at the TON Foundation, Justin Huhn, says the accelerator will provide a range of investments between $50,000 US and $250,000 US per project, as well as provide mentorship opportunities and partnerships. Now, to receive funding, the initial recipients will primarily have to meet one of the following requirements. Number one, be projects that took part in the TON hackathon with a focus on DeFi. Number two, be already existent in the TON ecosystem. Additionally, they should have an MVP that is a minimum viable product already developed and in need of support, mainly in marketing, business development, and technology. And lastly, those that took part in Hackathon X, which was a 2-month-long virtual hackathon, which was organized in collaboration with Dora Hacks. Now, to learn more about this accelerator, we will leave the link in the show notes. So please, please do your own research before you commit yourself, or, you know, before you start looking into ways to build within the open network. And not just, you know, do research from the links that we give you, but also do your own research on the side as well. Figure out what exactly the open network is. I personally, you know, once I hear the collab, perhaps, of Telegram and TON, just that connection, even though it was short and sweet, it still gives me a bit of the heebie-jeebies. You know what I mean? The amount of hacks that have gone on in Telegram, the amount of conspiracies that you hear about Telegram is insane. So please do your own research before you commit yourself to building an entire project on the open network. It could, of course, once again, it is open sourced. So it could be that now that it is community led and open sourced, there's a lot more room for change, a lot more room for growth and development, etc. But once again, always, always do that research as much as you can. Now, moving on to your next headline for the week, South Africa's crypto firms must now apply for registration in order to avoid getting fined.
Now, effective June 1st through November 30th, 2023, cryptocurrency businesses with the intention to continue carrying out business activities in South Africa will have to submit an application for an operating license to the nation's Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA. In 2022, South Africa was ranked 30th on Chainalysis Global Adoption Index, trailing behind other African nations like Nigeria and Kenya in terms of their use of cryptocurrencies. Following a proposal of the legislation in November 2022 and a published requirement of the final licensing requirements in October 2022, companies that choose to comply with the registration process are indicating that they will act according to the country's norms for financial service providers. Although the FSCA has not explicitly declared how much crypto companies will be charged for registration, its registration fees, depending on the kind and nature of the business, normally range from 2,544 South African rand, which is approximately $132, to 46,251 rand, which is approximately $2,395. Those cryptocurrency businesses who fail to register within the allotted time frame, approximately 6 months, risk fines of up to 10 million rand, which is an equivalent of $510,000, or 10 years in prison, or maybe both. Additionally, not every application will be approved. And in the event that a company's application for an operating license within South Africa is rejected, the business must stop operating immediately or face legal consequences. Well, I think this will effectively make South Africa the first African country to obviously enforce crypto regulations. I don't think I know of any others. Not sure that there is or there are. Most other countries are still in the process of trying to decide whether or not they want to enforce these legislations. But I think this is great for the sake of transparency and also to ensure that end consumers are protected from rugs or scams or any of the sorts. I feel like it's definitely necessary for crypto companies to be registered with a regulatory authority in the country. I mean, this doesn't necessarily mean that the regulatory authority has to imprint on them and make them bend or twist or, you know, be not so decentralized anymore, because then that would defeat the purpose of it being a crypto company, of it being a DAO or whatever. But I feel like what good this will do will be to protect people, because we do have a lot of instances where things go south in crypto and then there is nobody to hold. So I feel like this definitely puts a face or a name to the face of the founders and owners of these crypto organizations, and just so that somebody can be held accountable in the event of anything. And I think it's pretty good. I feel like maybe this is the way to go for other countries all over the world. This would definitely help to bolster people's trust in cryptocurrency and faith in what we're doing and trying to achieve.
I think that is the perfect way to end this episode. And of course, just a reminder that none of what we've shared here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. If you haven't already, please try to subscribe, leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. You can also share with a friend. Maybe it can be a conversation starter to just figure out, you know, get some feelers on how they're feeling as pertains to crypto and everything around it. But until next time, from myself and from Bankless Africa, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.